There is something special about the number 16. For one thing, it was preservation's sign to mankind. Preservation knew, even before he imprisoned Ruin, that he wouldn't be able to communicate with humankind once he diminished himself. And so he left clues. Clues that couldn't be altered by Ruin. Clues that related back to the fundamental laws of the universe. The number was meant to be proof that something unnatural was happening, and that there was help to be found. It may have taken us long to figure this out, but when we eventually did understand the clue, late though it was, it provided a much-needed boost. As for the other aspects of the number, well, even I am still investigating that. Suffice it to say that it has great ramifications regarding how the world and the universe itself works. 71. Sazed tapped his pen against the metal paper, frowning slightly. "Very little of this last chunk is different from what I knew before," he said. "Ruin changed small things, perhaps to keep me from noticing the alterations. It's obvious that he wanted to make me realize that Vin was the hero of ages."
"He wanted her to release him," said Haddock, leader of the first generation.
His companions nodded.
"Perhaps she was never the hero,"
one of the others offered. Sazed shook his head.
"I believe that she is. These prophecies still refer to her, even the unaltered ones that you have told me. They talk of one who is separate from the Terrace people, a king of men, a rebel caught between two worlds. Ruin just emphasized that Vin was the one, since he wanted her to come and free him."
"We always assumed that the hero would be a man," Haddock said in his wheezing voice.
"So did everyone else," Sazed said. "But you said yourself that all the prophecies use gender-neutral pronouns. That had to be intentional. One does not use such language in Old Terrace by accident. The neutral case was chosen so that we wouldn't know whether the hero was male or female."
Several of the ancient Terracemen nodded. They worked by the quiet blue light of the glowing stones, still sitting in the chamber with the metal walls, which, from what Sazed had been able to gather, was something of a holy place for the Chandra. He tapped his pen, frowning. What was bothering him?
"They say I will hold the future of the entire world on my arms."
Alendi's words, from his logbook written so long ago. The words of the first generation confirmed that was true. There was still something for Vin to do, yet the power at the Well of Ascension was gone, used up. How could she fight without it? Sazed looked up at his audience of ancient Chandra.
"What was the power at the Well of Ascension, anyway?"
"Even we are not certain of that, young one," Haddock said. "By the time we lived as men, our gods had already passed from this world, leaving the Terrace with only the hope of the hero."
"Tell me of this thing," Sazed said, leaning forward. "How did your gods pass from this world?"
"Ruin and preservation," said one of the others. "They created our world and our people."
"Neither could create alone," Haddock said. "No, they could not. For to preserve something is not to create it. And neither can you create through destruction only."
It was a common theme in mythology. Sazed had read it in dozens of the religions he'd studied. The world being created out of a clash between two forces, sometimes rendered as chaos and order, sometimes named destruction and protection. That bothered him a little bit. He was hoping to discover something new in the things men were telling him. And yet, just because something was common, did that make it false? Or could all of those mythologies have a shared and true root?
"They created the world," Sazed said.
"Then left?"
Not immediately, Haddock said. But here is the trick, young one. They had a deal, those two. Preservation wanted to create men, to create life capable of emotion. He obtained a promise from Ruin to help make men.
But at a cost, one of the others whispered.
What cost? Sazed asked.
That Ruin could one day be allowed to destroy the world, Haddock replied.
The circular chamber fell silent.
Hence the betrayal, Haddock said. Preservation gave his life to imprison Ruin, to keep him from destroying the world.
Another common mythological theme, the martyr god. It was one that Sazed himself had witnessed in the birth of the Church of the Survivor.
Yet, this time it's my own religion, he thought.
He frowned, leaning back, trying to decide how he felt. For some reason, he had assumed that the truth would be different. The scholarly side of him argued with his desire for belief. How could he believe in something so filled with mythological clichés? He'd come all this way, believing that he'd been given one last chance to find the truth. Yet now that he studied it, he was finding that it was shockingly similar to religions he had rejected as false.
"You seem disturbed, child," Haddock said. "Are you that worried about the things we say?"
"I apologize," Sazed said. "This is a personal problem, not related to the fate of the Hero of Ages."
"Please speak," one of the others said.
"It is complicated," Sazed said. "For some time now, I have been searching through the religions of mankind, trying to ascertain which of their teachings were true. I had begun to despair that I would ever find a religion that offered the answers I sought. Then I learned that my own religion still existed, protected by the Khandra. I came here hoping to find the truth."
"This is the truth," one of the Khandra said.
"That's what every religion teaches," Sazed said, frustration mounting. "Yet in each of them I find inconsistencies, logical leaps, and demands of faith I find impossible to accept."
"It sounds to me, young one," Haddock said, "that you're searching for something that cannot be found."
"The truth," Sazed said.
"No," Haddock replied. "A religion that requires no faith of its believers."
Another of the Khandra elders nodded.
"We follow the Father and the First Contract, but our faith is not in him. It's in something higher. We trust that preservation planned for this day, and that his desire to protect will prove more powerful than Ruin's desire to destroy."
"But you don't know," Sazed said. "You are offered proof only once you believe. But if you believe, you can find proof in anything. It is a logical conundrum."
"Faith isn't about logic, son," Haddock said. "Perhaps that's your problem. You cannot disprove the things you study, any more than we can prove to you that the hero will save us. We simply must believe it, and accept the things preservation has taught us."
It wasn't enough for Sazed. However, for the moment, he decided to move on. He didn't have all the facts about the terrorist religion yet. Perhaps once he had them, he would be able to sort this all out.
"You spoke of the prison of Ruin," Sazed said. "Tell me how this relates to the power that Lady Vin used."
"Gods don't have bodies like those of men," Haddock said. "They are forces, powers. Preservation's mind passed, but he left his power behind."
"In the form of a pool of liquid," Sazed said.
The members of the first generation nodded.
"And the dark black smoke outside?" Sazed asked.
Ruin, Haddock said. Waiting, watching during his imprisonment.
Sazed frowned.
The cavern of smoke was very much larger than the Well of Ascension. Why the disparity? Was Ruin that much more powerful?
Haddock snorted quietly.
They were equally powerful, young one. They were forces, not men. Two aspects of a single power. Is one side of a coin more powerful than the other? They pushed equally upon the world around them.
Though, one of the others added, there is a story that Preservation gave too much of himself to make mankind, to create something that had more of Preservation in them than they had of Ruin. Yet it would be only a small amount in each individual. Tiny, easy to miss, except over a long, long time.
So why the difference in size? Sazed asked.
You aren't seeing, young one, Haddock said. The power in that pool, that wasn't Preservation.
But you just said...
It was part of Preservation, to be sure, Haddock continued. But he was a force. His influence is everywhere. Some of it perhaps concentrated into that pool. The rest is elsewhere and everywhere.
But Ruin, his mind was focused there, another Chandra said. And so his power tended to coalesce there. Much more of it, at least, than that of Preservation.
But not all of it,
another one said, laughing. Sazed cocked his head. Not all of it. It, too, was spread out across the world, I assume?
In a way, Haddock said.
We now speak of things in the first contract, one of the other Chandra warned.
Haddock paused, then turned, studying Sazed's eyes.
If what this man says is true, then Ruin has escaped. That means he will be coming for his body. His power.
Sazed felt a chill. It's here? He asked quietly. Haddock nodded.
We were to gather it. The first contract, the Lord Ruler named it, our charge in this world.
The other children had a purpose, another Chandra added. The Koloss, they were created to fight. The Inquisitors, they were created to be priests. Our task was different.
Gather the power, Haddock said, and protect it, hide it, keep it. For the Father knew Ruin would escape one day, and on that day, he would begin searching for his body.
The group of aged Chandra looked past Sazed. He frowned, turning to follow their eyes. They were looking toward the metal dais. Slowly, Sazed stood, walking across the stone floor. The dais was large, perhaps 20 feet across, but not very high. He stepped onto it, causing one of the Chandra behind him to gasp. Yet none of them called out to stop him. There was a seam down the middle of the circular platform, and a hole, perhaps the size of a large coin, at the center. Sazed peered through the hole, but it was too dark to see anything. He stepped back. I should have a little left, he thought, glancing toward his table with its metal mines. I refilled that ring for a few months before I gave up on my metal mines. He walked over quickly, selecting a small pewter ring off of the table. He slipped it on, then looked up at the members of the first generation. They turned from his querying look.
Do what you must, child,
Haddock said, his aged voice echoing in the room.
We could not stop you if we wished.
Sazed walked back to the dais, then tapped his pewter mind for the strength he had stored in it over a year ago. His body immediately grew several times stronger than normal, and his robes suddenly felt tight. With hands now thick with muscles, he reached down and, bracing himself against the rough floor, shoved against one side of the disc on the floor. It ground against stone as it moved, uncovering a large pit. Something glittered beneath. Sazed froze, his strength and body deflating as he released his pewter mind. His robes became loose again. The room was silent. Sazed stared at the half-covered pit and at the enormous pile of nuggets hidden in the floor.
"The trust, we call it," Haddock said with a soft voice. "Given for our safekeeping by the Father."
Atium. Thousands upon thousands of beads of it. Sazed gasped.
"The Lord Ruler's Atium stockpile. It was here all along." "Most of that Atium never left the pits of Hathsin," Haddock said. "There were obligators on staff at all times, but never inquisitors, for the Father knew that they could be corrupted. The obligators broke the geodes in secret, inside of a metal room constructed for the purpose, then took out the Atium. The noble family then transported the empty geodes to Luthadel, never knowing that they didn't have any Atium in their possession at all. What Atium the Lord Ruler did get and distribute to the nobility was brought in by the obligators. They disguised the Atium as ministry funds and hid the beads in piles of coins so that Ruin wouldn't see them as they were transported in convoys full of new acolytes to Luthadel.
Sazed stood, dumbstruck.
"Here, all along, just a short distance from the very caves where Kelsier raised his army. A short journey from Luthadel, completely unprotected all these years. Yet hidden so well." "You worked for Atium," Sazed said, looking up. "The Chandra contracts, they were paid in Atium."
Haddock nodded.
"We were to gather all of it we could. What didn't end up in our hands, the Mistborn burned away. Some of the houses kept small stockpiles, but the Father's taxes and fees kept most of the Atium flowing back to him as payments. And eventually, almost all of it ended up here."
Sazed looked down.
"Such a fortune," he thought. "Such power."
Atium never had fit in with the other metals. Every one of them, even aluminum and duralumin, could be mined or created through natural processes. Atium, however, it had only ever come from a single place, its appearance mysterious and strange. Its power had allowed one to do something unlike anything else in Alamancy or Ferrochemy. It let one see the future. Not a thing of men at all. More a thing of gods. It was more than just a metal. It was condensed, consecrated power. Power that Ruin would want. Very badly. Tensoon pushed toward the crest of the hill, moving through ash that was so high that he was glad he had switched to the horse's body, for a wolfhound could never have moved through piles so deep. The ash fell strongly where he was, limiting his visibility.
"I will never make it to Fadrick's at this rate," he thought with anger.
Even pushing hard, moving in the massive horse's body, he was moving too slowly to get far from the homeland. He finally crested the hill, his breath coming in puffing snorts out the horse's snout. At the top of the hill he froze, shocked. The landscape before him was burning. Tyrion, closest of the Ashmans to Luthadel, stood in the near distance, half of its top blown free from some violent eruption. The air itself seemed to burn with tongues of flame, and the broad plain in front of Tensoon was clogged with flowing lava. It was a deep, powerful red. Even from a distance he could feel the heat pushing against him. He stood for a long moment, deep in ash, gazing upon a landscape that had once contained villages, forests, and roads. All was gone now, burnt away. The earth had cracked in the distance, and more lava seemed to be spilling out of it.
"By the first contract," he thought with despair.
He could detour to the south, continue on to Fadrick's as if he'd come in a straight line from Luthadel. But for some reason he found it hard to get up the motivation. It was too late.